That's why husbands and wives never have a great relationship strengthened. Do you understand? Because you must work on it. You must work. Work. Work out your own. Yahshak, salvation of Yahweh with fear and trembling. Now you don't have that aspect, and it takes understanding the Torah, because you know when you disavow and disobey Yahweh, then there are great consequences of that. So that's why we can do things without even the thoughts of the consequences, of the rewards. Because judgment is not expedient, then your wicked heart is just fully set to do even more evil than you can imagine. And you will speak evil to your neighbor, to your husband, to your wife. You do not care. Well, Pastor Roberts, do you speak evil to Sister Roberts? No, I'll teach her. Teach her what to say and how to say it. And I will tell her, no, you did not. And when I explain things to her, then it makes sense. No, I'm not the smartest thing in here, but I do know Yahweh. And that's all that matters to me. You understand, nothing else is relevant. I want to read this for you, my brothers and sisters. I want to read this out of the Apocrypha. It's a profound statement out of the book of Tobit. You must understand the importance of these prophecies and these books out of the Apocrypha. He says, now listen to this. You don't have this. It says here in Tobit, and you must understand that this is a prophecy and a book that deals with the strictest interpretation of Torah, that you must obey it and walk in the strength of it. Now let me show you what the prophet said. It says here, it says in Tobit 3:3, remember me, Yahweh says, as the prophet says, and this is a metaphor of Israel, the house of Abraham. Remember me and look upon me, punish me not for my sin and my ignorance. At one time Yahweh winked at our ignorance. Now he's telling you to cleanse yourself from your filthiness. What? The filthiness of your flesh and your ruah, perfecting your set apartness in the fear of Yahweh. So one time, don't punish me for that, Yahweh, and the sins of my avat, who have sinned before you. He says this, for they obey not your mitzvah, they did not keep the Torah. Wherefore you have delivered us for a spoil. You have given us to be spoiled, to be pillaged, because we have not obeyed your mitzvot. And to captivity and to death, a separation, a departing of Torah truth, a departing of disciplines that cause us to walk circumspectly before Yahweh. For a proverb of reproach to all the nations among whom we have been dispersed. We are a proverb of reproach. People mock us. Because they say, where is that mighty one that delivered you? You think they will not mock you? Where is that God you said you were serving? He says this, and now your judgment are many, and your judgments are true. Deal with me according to my sins and my avat. Do you pray that prayer? Deal with me according to my sins. Correct me, Yahweh, in thy mishpatim, in your judgment, and not in your anger, lest I be brought to nothing. You don't deal with your sins. You don't want Yahweh to correct you according to your sins, because your sins, they stink. What is sin? It is a transgression of the Torah, isn't it? Your sins are vile. You forsake the Torah. So you don't pray that prayer. We pray this self-righteous prayer, that we are righteous. And everyone else that has infringed upon us, they're wrong. Because their verbiage was not acceptable to us. Because they dispatched me for something. I don't like it. That's how ignorant we are. Thank you, my brother. I will go ahead. I will proceed. I like that. Go ahead. Thank you. He said, because we have not kept your mitzvot, neither have we walked in truth before you. Now, how can you walk in truth and a lie? How can you walk as a busybody and say your mind is on Yahweh lies?
One will dispel the other. It's either you're full of darkness, my brother and sister, or you're full of light. And if you're walking in that kind of hypocrisy, you're full of darkness. If you are a busybody and tattletale, an assassinator of one's character. You know the woman that they caught in the act of adultery, they caught her. That's what scripture says. They literally caught her in the act of that act. No hearsay, they knew what she was doing. We are a hearsay generation. I tell you what, my friends, what you hear of others, tell people about you and your thoughts. That'll resolve that, won't it? You're a coward. You're a coward Jezebel, what you are. You're a coward dog. I said that way without any apology, my young brother Jermaine. Tell them about you and some of your thoughts. Some of your vile, insidious, evil ways. Tell them about you. You don't want to do that, do you? Because this is a generation take great delight in the harm and the death because you're a murdering generation, because you have no shalom. You have not the shalom of Yahweh. Truth. Your judgments, they're true. Deal with me according to my sins because we have not kept your mitzvahs. Neither have we walked in your truth before you, Yahweh. Now therefore deal with me as seems best to you. Whatever you desire, deal with me that way. Show me if you are to break me down until I'm prostrate. Until the tears and the weight is so heavy I can't move. Break me down. The only thing break us down is our bellies full of lust. We're not broken down because we love Him. That's the situation. When you have the shalom of Yahweh running like a river, and your righteousness as the waves of the sea, you take great delight in the Torah. Because you don't take great delight in the Torah, your self-righteousness is so filthy. That's why your attitude is filthy. Your flesh is filthy. It stinks. It's filthy. Grotesque. It's ugly. The nakedness make you ashamed of it. Come on here, somebody. Do what is best that you think with me. And command my Ruah to be taken from me. That I may be dissolved. That I may die. Just take me, Yahweh. I'm not even fit. We always think that someone else is not fit, don't we? You're not fit. What a profound statement. Why? Because he deals with a discipline of the Torah and the strictest of analogies. And that's what the Ruah does. It doesn't placate the Torah. It doesn't give us some kind of happy-go, merry-go-round mindset when it comes to Yahweh. It gives us the implied, what Yahweh implies, and what He means without speaking it again. There's nothing that makes you more perturbed, you that are parents, when you say to your son, do that, take out the garbage, and they don't do it. You say, you hurt me. My grandmother would say, she wouldn't even repeat herself. You better find out what she said. You better do it in a hurry. You see, that's the way you are with Yahweh. What did you say? You see, you are the very opposite of this. If Yahweh shows you your sins, you will say, well, I'm not that way. I'm nice. I do things differently. I don't do that. That's the way you respond. I watch this ignorant generation. He said, deal with me according to my sins. You don't tell Yahweh because you will be dead as hell. You better confess your sins before Him. And they go before you. He said, deal with me according to my sins. He said, take my Ruah, take life out of me. That I may be dissolved. And become earth, nothing but dirt in the ground. For it is profitable for me to die rather than to live. Because my defiance of your Torah. It's better for me to die than to even live. Remove me, Yahweh. You can't pray that prayer. Why? Because we are such vile transgressors of the Torah. And the power or the sting of death is sin.
You got so much wickedness in you, you couldn't pray that. If you think if you get a heartburn, you think you're going to die. Oh God, oh Lord, oh Jesus, oh help me God. I say it that way. That's why you pray. I'm going to die. Why? Because your sins are many. Your transgressing of the Torah is profound. He said, I've transgressed. Take me. I'm not even worthy. It's better for me to live to know that your judgment is just and what you say is right. Take me, my Abba. You become afraid. You're frightened. The least little pain, you think you're going to die because your sin. You're always showing you your transgression of the Torah is many, is much. That's why you want to die. I love life and I want to see better days. So I'm going to refrain my lips from speaking evil against his Torah. He says, better for me to die than to live because I have heard false reproaches and have much sorrow. Command therefore that I may now be delivered out of this stress. It's too much, Yahweh. It's too much stress. I'm distressful. I can't think. I can't function. Why? When you remove yourself from the Torah, and you begin to forsake the Torah, you have no soundness. So you think twisted. You don't think right. It is the power of Yahweh's wisdom to govern you, brothers and sisters. And this is a simple truth. I was listening to a man this morning. I think it was Money Judah. He was teaching on the edifices and the furniture of the tabernacle and all that. No life in it. It was an educational type thing, but there was no life at all in it. No ruah, no power. None whatsoever. And yet people are consumed with that. Take my Ruah, Yahweh. I'm in distress. That's why many of you are so distressful. That's why you're stressed out because you do not love Torah. Torah always disciplines you. Torah teaches you. And the Ruah says, come on, that's just like being in the military having a drill sergeant. The drill sergeant prepares you for the battle. It prepares you for the battle. They are troops that have a more specified training than the army. It is more than the physical attributes of the Marines. It's more of a mental than physical. Because of the stress they put you under. Why? Because you must conform unto the discipline. So a man that has been in the Marines, he has conformed to a standard that is totally different. Brother Michael up there in Ohio, he was in the Marines. So the training is different. They are the ones that take upon the assault. We are the front line of Yahweh. So we must be trained properly. And our minds must be shaped and prepared for the battles of darkness. That's why we fall like imbeciles and weak things. It's one thing that a man of strength, you don't want to tackle him. You want to see, how can I take him down? If I go head on, I can't take him down. We become weakened. How do you become weakened? Because of what you eat. If you eat cupcakes all day, you're going to look like cupcakes. If you like trashing, you're going to look trashy. Now that's just the truth. Period. You're going to feel like a cupcake. You're going to feel miserable like a cup. Come on, you eat something so sweet, it hurts your teeth, you know. You understand what I'm saying. And so that's what the sons of the Edomites, the sons of Esau, they're feeding the people cupcakes. And not honeydew melons, they're feeding them generic, superficial, pseudo. So we eat in a way naturally, and we feel the way we eat. You eat trashy, you're going to feel trashy. When you love trash more than you love the true things, you're gonna feel that way. So what you need to do is hear the Torah. And begin to immerse yourself and submerge yourself in the Torah. Instead of sitting around idle doing nothing. I love you daughters, but you all got a problem. You need help. You're not going to find help in your
meandering around and you're gossiping, you're going to find it in Torah. Believe me, my brothers, I knew exactly how all of y'all were thinking last night. I knew that. That's why I ask. I want you to answer me. What are you thinking, Deacon? What are you thinking, Brother Pat? Thinking about scriptures I was reading. What are you thinking, Brother Dale? Thinking about the brothers. What he was thinking about, I was thinking about the same thing at the same time. Identical. I was telling one other night, I was talking with Brother Dale the other day. I said, you know, his answers, I'll listen to the brother's answer because I said, you know, that same thing I would say. It was identical to mine. You're just on the same level. Nothing any different. That's why the man is the Savior. I don't care what you sisters think. You can get fruity all you want to. You can say that I had it. You don't have nothing. Because if you had it, then you would see it in you. I don't care what you say. No, Adam had it. That's why he went to Eve. She didn't have it. Thank you. And I'm not afraid to say that. That's the strength of a daughter of Zion, not what these Jezebels have taught them. That's what this Edomite religion has taught them. I will show us as we go forth. It is a violent opposition of Yahweh's truth. It opposes Yahweh's truth. And that is what this metaphor, this red China, they oppose anything that corrected them. Russia, China will not allow America to say anything of her transgressions. Why? Do you know why? Because she's bigger than her? No. Because America owes her so much money. She borrows $1 billion a day from China. They're raising hell about this port deal. Believe me, it's going through. These people have bought the T-bills of America. And if they give that stuff back, the economy of this wicked Jezebel will fall overnight. And Mr. Bush is not about to not let that go through. We're such an ignorant people. We love lollipops and honey buns. But we don't want anything that stimulates or cause this little thing, what we call a brain, to be twisted. You love gossip, don't you? And trash. That's why they don't say anything to China. Not because, come on, America got enough power to wipe China out today. Just the first atomic bomb, do you know how much plutonium was in that bomb? It was only 5 pounds. And it destroyed Nagasaki, didn't it? The bombs they make today that are nuclear, they have thousands of pounds. Drop a bomb on Guangdong in China. 18, 20 million people. Destroy them overnight. It's not that. Why do you think she doesn't raise hell with the Saudis? Because she owes them. She prints this false money, these T-bills, and they buy them. They buy them in the tombs of billions every day. There's no way her economy, because of the greed of the people, it cannot even be substantiated unless she borrowed it. That's the only way. She can't say nothing to China. She can't say nothing to India. You don't want to poor people like that. People like Pastor Babu starving, and yet she buy billions of dollars worth of American T-bill. Why do you think they don't raise hell with China? Because she keeps her currency deflated and America's currency inflated. But China needs to raise their currency up to the market value, and as the market flows, she must flow. You see, I listen to things like that. I study things like that. You want to waste time on things that are foolish, gossiping, and trivial pursuits that make you ignorant. I will not. So she cannot say anything here, not because of her military power. America has the power from the shores here to drop missiles in every place in China. Believe me, she got them target on China and Russia. Because she spends money. United Arab Emirates, they spend money. They can't say anything. It's not the fear of military power. Because if they say, here are your T-bills, give me my money. You're in trouble, America. Your dollar bills mean nothing. Can I tell you it's going to happen? It's going to take the shalom away from the world. Why? Because they hate the Torah. They hate the Abba's name. They go with these fictitious, damnable dogs they call gods. And they despise Yahweh's name. They despise his mitzvahs. What I think we can do, a flat out liar, there's only one way. There are many ways that seem right. There's one way. There's only one creator. There are billions of gods, but there's only one creator. He's the only one. And he has a name too. He's not a dog. He's Yahweh. And that
is who He is. He has a profound name, and He wants us to use it. He says here, I want to finish this, because I've heard of the false reproaches and have much sorrows. You have much sorrows, don't you? Command therefore that I may now be delivered out of this distress and go in to the everlasting place. Turn not your face away from me, Yahweh. I'd rather die. I have transgressed your Torah. I remove the discipline of your Torah away from my eyes. And so there is no flow of shalom like rivers. My righteousness is like, not like the waves of the sea. I'm forming out this wickedness, raging forms of the sea. My own wickedness, that's what you see, this foam, this filth, this froth, that's dirty. If you ever seen sea foam, it is always filthy. It's almost like an regurgitation of what's in it. It's spitting that trash back to where it came from. Dirty, filthy. That's why when you talk so much, your breath began to smell. It stinks. And the anger that you can sense that putrefy, puke in you, and the stench of it comes out. I've seen people like that. Their whole, their skin began to stink. Their breath becomes so obnoxious. I see foam in their mouths and it just foam up like a stench. That's a shame. That's a rage. Why? Because you're in a rage. It's a filthiness. Show me Yahweh. The filth. Take me now. I pray that prayer. Take me Yahweh. I love Sister Roberts. That's my wife. I love her. And it's not some bad thing. I just love her. I like being with her. I like her friendship. I do. I'm her protector. And I'm going to protect her. Not her wickedness now. I rebuke that. But I'm a protector. I was listening the other day. I said, Yahweh, you do things so well. I was sitting there yesterday with Brother Allen. We were sitting right here on the bench. Brother Dale's little daughter, when she screamed, you can hear it. It's one thing that Yahweh has given a woman that sound of alarm. That little girl, you can hear right here. You can hear, is she asleep back there? Get her to holler for me. When she hollows, it is piercing. You can hear it. Why? Because that's a sign of alarm. Yahweh intended for a woman to have that. Do you understand? Because it alerts the Savior and the Protector. He grabs the sword. See, I can hear that voice more clear than someone raised in hell just running them out. That voice is, when she hollows, believe me, you can hear it. And I was sitting right there, Brother Allen and I. When I began to talk, I thought about that. I said, man, you can, God, that little old thing. But you can hear that. We're an ignorant generation. Forgive me of my ignorance, Yahweh. That's what he said. I'm ignorant. I don't know. And I need to know. No, I'm not going to compel you to love Yahweh. It's either you love him or you don't love him. Period. I said I love my wife because I wanted to know. Whether she turns today, is that going to stop me? Period. And it's a pure love. It's beyond expression. I don't know how to express it. But I know it's genuine. And I know it's real. And I know it's a great comfort there. And I know I enjoy it. I do. Well, how to express it? What is the verbiage? I don't know how to. Is there something there? It's more than an emotion. But it's real. I tell you all the time, I don't know how to tell Yahweh I love him. But I know. I love him. Oh, by keeping his mitzvah. And keeping his Torah. Refreshing that daily. Do you have to refresh yourself? You look for breakfast in the morning, don't you? Even when you say you want to diet and trim off a little bit, you still look for a little something to eat. Because old body got to have that. So it is in this matter of the Ruah. It must be refreshed. You got to feed it. And when you don't feed it, you become very anemic. You become weak. You become very susceptible to diseases, and your mind is filled with all kinds of diseases. There's a house today that is of Yahweh, and one that is of the power of darkness. Look at what Hamashiach says in Matthew 10:34. He says this, I do want to endeavor into this birth of the power of this of the sons of Edom. Yahweh's will, I will continue this on Wednesday. Because I'm not going to have time today to finish all of it. I want your minds to be fresh. And your heart to be prepared to hear, to listen. I want that. Habakkuk says, he says to that religious sectarian group of individuals. And that's what we have today, sectarian. A people that's carnal. They have an understanding of the truth, but they have no ruah. They have the letter of it. They're good at quoting it. They understand it, but they have no power of it. Because the truth makes them free. And this is what HaMashiach says in Matthew 10:34. He said, I want you to think not. Now, I will tell you, don't even think it. That would be the expression in the vernacular today. Don't even think it. You ever said that? That's what he was saying. Don't even contemplate it. He said, think not that I am come to send shalom on the earth. He said, I don't think I've come to send the peace of Yahweh upon the earth. He said, I came not to send shalom, but a what? But a sword. And this one that rides, he shall go forth to take shalom, that they shall kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. It's not the sword of the Ruah. He said, I did not come to send shalom, but I came to send a sword. For what reason? For I came to. Is that what it says in the next verse? For I am come to. Does it say that? Does it say that? You're sure? He said, I am come to set a man in love against his avad. To set a man at variance. Did they be diametrically opposed? Did there be separation? Did there be battle? That's what he says. See, only the shalom of Yahweh will bring about the oneness, will cause us to walk in that same oneness. He said, I came to set a man at variance, opposition, dispersing, separation against his avad, and the daughter against her mother-in-law. Do you hear that? A daughter against her mother-in-law, against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, if that is not a true indication of what time we're in, you're literally a pervert. You have no understanding of Scripture, and you have no knowledge. It is one thing that the shalom of Yahweh does. How do I ascertain that and keep that? By desiring and loving His Torah. And his mitzvahs are companion in my life. When a mother-in-law doesn't desire that, or father-in-law doesn't desire that, you're going to have variance between her and the daughter-in-law, the mother and the daughter. That's what you're going to have. Well, I raised my children right. Lies. You have not raised them right. You raised them with four. I've done a good job. You haven't. What you raise is the product of what you have raised. I was telling Brother Allen, there's a book that Sister Tucker sent me. It's a very excellent book. It was written by the Amish. But it's a good book. And I bless her for that. Bless you, sister. And I called her yesterday because I wanted to get some more of those books. I wanted to get some. Put one in Deacon Benny's in the brother's hands. Because some of the things that it teaches you in the book, you know they work. It's a proven thing. How to treat plants and mites and diseases and stuff. It just works because there's evidence and testimonies of it. And so in order for us not to be diseased, he always says to the house of Israel, when you disobey me, then the same diseases that came upon Egypt, Mizraim, shall come upon you. And so your minds are diseased. They were so diseased that they built a calf for God to displace Yahweh. And what you have done, you have displaced the Torah of Yahweh with your fleshly greed, your lust, and your self-righteousness. And that's why you're sick. That's why there's no health in your navel. Why? Because HaMashiach sent forth the Torah, the word of Yahweh, and it was the health and the healing to the people. So you have no health. You're weak. Many are dead because you eat and take of this bread and this body
unrighteously. You know that there's filth in you. You don't have the righteous ability by the instructions of the Torah to come before the altar and get it right. You think that that was just something that Yaakov said in the book of James, that he was the first one to be the inspirator of that? The people had to bring their offerings to the high priest, their sin offerings for their sins, and they had to confess to him. That was not just something new at that time. That has not changed. He has given us a direct path. And we won't even confess that. You transgress his Torah, you don't confess that. You know something is wrong. You murder your brother or sister and you think lightly of it. You speak evil against them and you think lightly of it. Whatever you sow, it comes back. You so filthiness, your mind so corrupt, it's Torah defiant. That's why you're in the shape you're in. I said to the brothers, I was talking to Pastor Hunter. I told him we had played some basketball. I said, my knee is hurting. He says, well, if you play more often. I said, no, that's not it. That's the problem. I've sown to these knees. I've played so much that they hurt now. I've worn out some of the cartilage. That's just it. Period. And I'm going to have to suffer with that. The knee has been worn out from jumping and running and twisting. It is. And so at times, though, knee, when I feel I can't move because I know what it is. Because all of that jumping and running and 3 or 4 hours of basketball, that wears on you. Man wasn't made to do that. Period. That's the truth. Brothers get in there and hoist up 200, 300 pounds and 500, 600, 700 pounds with their legs. It wears on you. And it hurts you. Sure it does. And so that is what has happened to us. We have allowed this corruption to wear on us. And we're corrupt. We're corrupt. Stink. I don't care how you try to perfume yourself up and make yourself look, oh, I love you. She's a kiss of death and hypocrisy. I'd rather say, sis, I got a problem with you. I tell brothers, it's not my righteousness. I say, brother, I'm not going to hug you. That's just what I do. The brothers know that. Whether you believe it or not, I'm not going to hug you. Not today. Some other time now. I'll let Yahweh deal with my heart. But as far as for now, nah. I'm not going to argue. You're so full of hypocrisy. You just like the Judases. I love you, sister. Liars. False. I'd rather have somebody real. Give me one real brother. I give you 5,000 false ones. And I do more with the real brother and the real sister than 5,000 false ones. I guarantee you. No doubt about it. You get a real sister. If a sister's real, she'll be real. A brother's real, he's real. And that's the truth. I was telling someone when Deacon Benny speaks, I like to be away when he speaks because it gives him a greater liberty. Sure I do. Because people have wrote me because they enjoyed his message. They did. They did. Nothing wrong with that. Bless you. I said to them what they expect. They're going to get the same kind of gravy, the biscuit and the meat. On the side. And so I have no inferiority complex and no fears because one can do the same thing I do. Why do I fear that? Why do I fear that? That's why many people do not have the ability to submit to one another. Why? Because they can't submit because they're unsubmittable. That's why you can't submit to anyone. When a man's heart is pure, they can submit to anyone. It makes no difference. When you have no shalom, you will murmur about anything. I don't care, brothers and sisters. Wives, you go home, your husband is murmuring, it's because he has no shalom. Wife is always murmuring, she has no shalom. I don't care what she say. She is the problem. He is the problem. Why? Because when a man keeps the Torah of Yahweh, then that shalom shall flow like a river. So you're the problem, honey. My friend, you're weak, you're the problem. It's not Jermaine, it's not David, it's not Dolph, it's you. Well, sister, no, it's you, my sister. You're the problem. Why? Because as much that lies within who? Live what? Live shalom. Be at shalom with it. Is that what it says? So you without excuse. You're just ignorant. We don't want to deal with our own ignorance. We don't want to deal with our own weakness because we are shallow. We are just ignorant. We are sottish. And we don't want nobody to tell us that. But here's a man that is bold enough to tell you. Has no trepidations of any kind of retribution from you at all. No, whatsoever. I have no trepidation of that. You can take every dime and go and make no difference at all. Nothing is going to repeat. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. So I did not come to send that, he said. I come to send variance. Why? Because I intend for the daughter-in-law to love me. Mommy-in-law is not first. Me. Mama's not first. Me. You understand? So I will set a variance there. I will make them separate. Good. Good, Yahweh. You know what you were doing. Because mom-in-law and daughter-in-law can be a mess. Daughter and mama can be a triple mess. Mom and son can be a mess. There's nothing like a son gossiping to mama, mama gossiping with a son. That's one of the filthiest things in the world. That's an effeminate. That's what. I was down at the auction. Thank you, my brother. Man said to me, he said, I want to tell you something. These boys, they ain't worth a piece of. I'm not going to say what he said. Scheichen in the German tongue. Scheichen. He said, ain't worth a dime. He said, his mammy said they don't raise them, they ain't nothing. Now, that's what he said. He was talking to me. He said, my sister's boy had him the other day working with me a year ago. He said, I told the boy to do something. He walked around all sloppy. He said, I grabbed that boy, jacked him up, and boom, I put him on the ground. He said, excuse me for all my curse. I said, don't talk, man. Ain't no problem. I'm just listening to him because I know what he's saying was right. I didn't say anything. I'm just listening to the man. He was a farmer. He was looking to buy hogs or whatever. I was looking to buy goats. And so he was just told me, he said, I picked that boy when I slammed him on the ground. Bam! He said, I tried to break his butt. He didn't use those expressions, you understand? And he said, he didn't realize that he could have whipped the out of me if he had wanted to. He said, if he'd have just recoiled, he'd have beat the fire out of me. He said, but I thought he was going to tell his mama she was going to be upset with me. He said, a year later, she come in, she said, what did you do to my boy that day? So what do you mean? He said, I don't know what you did to him. His whole attitude changed. You straightened him out somewhat. He said, but these boys around here, the mammies make them, they ain't worth a piece of. No mother has any business dialogue with a boy about a son. No son would do that. I'm just telling you that. When I became a man, I didn't dialogue with my mother. I didn't talk with her. Why? Because she's my mother. I honor her. But there's a relationship there. There's a comfort that I can't do that. That's just the way I was. I just couldn't do it. I'm a man. I would tell her I'm a man. And I'm your head, mama. I'm your mama. So understand that. But I'm the man. I'm the man. No, she couldn't take no stick and whip me. Oh, man, she couldn't take a switch. All they do is grab it. Come on, mama. I just grabbed it. Nothing she could do. She's a little old woman. About 115 pounds. What she's going to do with me? 235 pounds of a man. Just put my arms around her. Nothing she could do. Now sit down, mama. I'm the man. So those that have the Torah of Yahweh, they have shalom. We don't have shalom because we don't have Torah righteousness in us. We have a superficial pseudo-Christianity righteousness. I was talking to a precious brother the night. He's a very precious mind that's come out of the UPC. And there are things that he's holding on to. I said, brother, you're going to have to let them go. Had a beautiful conversation, a very beautiful spirit he had. I enjoyed the conversation. I would have talked longer, but my voice began to wear on me. But I certainly enjoyed the mind. Enjoyed his attitude. His questions were so pristine. I enjoyed answering them. It's only those that are full of that Edomite spirit. I don't enjoy dealing with them. But that brother, I enjoyed him. I enjoyed the conversation. May Yahweh continue to trouble you, my brother, until you begin to walk in the fullness of his Torah. That's my prayer for you. I'm going to close with these verses here. Listen carefully. You don't have these, but I find them to be very intriguing. They are out of the Apocrypha. It is out of the book of Shadrach. Shadrach. It says this in Shadrach 28, verse 1. And this is Yahweh. When Yahweh removes his shalom from you, there's a reason why. And he sent forth the red hippo. And it went forth to take shalom out of the earth, that they shall kill one another. Do we find that today? And yet, this nation and our illustrious leader, our king, says that there is peace. We're more secure now than what we were. That's the shalom of Yahweh. It brings security. It brings health. It brings wealth. It brings prosperity. That's what it brings. Truth, brothers and sisters. But this is a profound statement here. I want to close with this. And I'm going to continue on this. I am hopefully on Wednesday. You always will. I hope I can finish it. Now I may go differently. Don't hold me to that, okay? Hallelujah. What I implore you to do is to take these verses and to prove me wrong. I have no problem with that. Show me in Scripture. It ought to cause you to enhance yourself and to go deeper. Instead of writing them down, it become a coagulation of notes and mess that you never look at. I write things down and I go back and look at them. I hear things. I hear brothers say things. No, it's not to go back and to prove them wrong. Because they open up my understanding to things that are greater. They say things. They speak things. And it opens up my understanding to a greater depth. That's what it does to me. I have no problem with any brother standing here and show me some things that I need to. I love that. And if he can't do that, then he hasn't been trained properly. Sure. That's the way it should be with your daughters. That's why Yahweh says to you, he says to you, older sisters, you need to teach. And you're so full of hell, you can't teach. Well, don't do what you don't have to, just do what I say. Just do, if you don't do it, it's all right. No, you live a life, it's exemplary that you can teach them. But you live like a fool and a clown, you have no strength to instruct. That's why you don't want to instruct. When you live all wickedly, you don't want to tell nobody anything. When you have no compassion, no caring, you don't want to help no one. You don't care about no one. You don't even care about your own self. Why? Because he tells us to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you have no willingness to help, I don't care what kind of attitude they get. I tell my wife all the time, I don't care. Don't worry about it. You're strong like me. Just need someone to bear on. I bear you up. Come on, come to me. Lean on Big Daddy's shoulder. You can lean on me. Hallelujah. My wife really doesn't tell me 90% of the things. She really doesn't. She bears them. Sure she does. She does. Because I'll be dealing with you sisters all the time. You all might as well be honest. That's the truth. He says this in Sirach. He that take vengeance, we love to take vengeance, don't we? Say, help me, Yahweh. Look to your neighbor and say, pray, Yahweh, help me. Come on, look at someone. Say, pray, Yahweh, help me. He said, he that takes vengeance will suffer vengeance from Yahweh. Vengeance is mine, saith Yahweh. I will repay. You take it with your tongue, with your words, and you break in the Torah. It's wrong, brothers and sisters. You're not going to get by. I'm here to warn you. I'm here to teach you, and that's what teaching is. It goes a warning for you to shine. To Zaha, to teach you. He says, those that take vengeance will get vengeance from Yahweh. And he will firmly establish. And he will firmly establish his sins. Your sins are going to be known. He's going to firmly establish them. Forgive your neighbor the wrong he has done. Now that's why many of you will never have shalom. I want to show you something. You have no ability to forgive. It's one thing about a child. You get on a child. Mama, I didn't do it. That's the way you adults are. I wish they helped me. I didn't do it. That's what children do. See, a man says, okay, yeah, I did that. I'm wrong. Now, you will say that in your hypocrisy because you want to make yourself look good. Self-right. Oh, okay. Oh, okay, yeah, okay, I did. And then you'll go behind and say, you know, he said that, she said that. Well, I didn't really do, but I just, you are a pervert. Hallelujah. I use those demonstrative superlatives. I don't have a vocabulary like you students that have word. What is that thing they have to give them? Vocabulary. Word building. Mine is very shallow. Very shallow vocabulary. Okay? So you're perverts. You're filthy. You stink. You're not a friend. You're not even a friend to the devil. Hallelujah. Bless you that are listening by the live stream. This Pastor Roberts. Moving by the Ruah. He says, forgive your neighbor the wrong he has done. And then your sins will be pardoned when you pray. What she did this, don't you know, hypocrites will remember things 10 years, 5, 3, 2, 6 months. And they can't tell you their sins. You're corrupt. Well, sister, you did that. Don't you remember that, brother? You are a twisted beast. It is right, mother. He says, does a man harbor anger against another? Do you do that? Don't answer me. What I'm saying was, I'm not going to let it go. She did that. No! Does a man harbor? Do you allow that to rest in your bosom? Well, anger rests in the bosom of a fool. You're a fool. And a foolish woman is clamorous. She's dumb and she knows nothing. That's what this thing we call the church is, a whore. She's a foolish woman. She's clamorous. How do you know a clamorous woman? She's loud. Anytime you sisters sit down with any men or elders, you ought to be quiet. I don't care if you get upset, you still talk quietly. You talk quietly. I watch sisters talk. I said, man, they're just ignorant. That's just truth. You just get quiet and be careful. Same thing, brother. A clamorous woman, she is. A foolish woman is clamorous. When a wife acts like a fool, you'll know she's clamorous.
Well, you said that. You did that. Well, I can't ask you. You did that. You did that.
Shut up, woman. Shut your mouth. Let's just be quiet. Shut up. I don't hear. Why start talking mess? I don't want to hear. I don't hear no more. Shut up. Period. Why? Because I don't want to hear. It ain't nothing. Well, you don't know. I don't want to hear, baby. I'd rather just sit here. Be quiet. Sure. Thank you, my brother. I'd rather be quiet. I don't like foolishness. Because it produced foolish. Folly produced more folly. So if you harbor anger in your heart. Now this is what this nation and the people of the nation. That's what this don't shalom. Well, she told on me. He told on me. Well, you know, if one love their brother or sister. And they're in a fault. Then you ought to examine that thing and help them. Or get someone that can help them. And then when that someone can help them. The first thing they're going to do is going to deal with their sins and their corruption. We don't like that. He said. And so that you find someone like that, you find someone that's going to speak against them, and you all going to hoard, and they're going to have anger in their heart against them. So you look for someone with the same familiar spirit that you have. A foolish man. Not one of the Torah. The Torah says, if that's the case, just pray for them. Now your sins won't even be forgiven unless you pray for them. And that is the truth. That's why husband and wife, come on, don't you know you can't be separated from each other because your prayers are hindered? That's why your expressions is never one of shalom. You didn't have no great. You always bless your daughters that you can have prayer lives. And you all got foolish lives. You bicker like hell. Yeah, I'm talking to this house here, you that are listening. You murmur, you complain when you ought to be praying. And the very one is your one that think that it's someone else. It's you. Antisocial. That's how you are. And you ought to be on your face praying. Give you some lollipop and some bubblegum and some silly. You can hear you grinning and standing all over town. Give you something that is real, that takes some effort and energy. Well, what we have to do there? I don't want to do that. Let's pray. You see them crawling across here every hour. Because the things of Yahweh do not mean anything to you. Tell them to go get that sis. I got to tell them. I got something to tell them. They will run to get there. They'll break a hip getting there. Come on here, somebody. You almost will hit me. You'll run and get a hip. Tell all the sisters, let's go pray. I got this to do. I don't feel like it. Well, my baby is this. That's what you say. It is the truth, too. No prayer life. None in your homes. None of the strength in your man. Even though, granted, they were Baptists, but they would get on their knees and pray. Bless my man. Help him. When he would come home, they would have enough awareness about themselves that they knew that his day was tough, knew the hardships, and she was quiet. You ready? She understood that. Prepared his plate. She knew when to talk and feel like talking. He had to do things introspectively. He had to examine. Then when he felt like talking, he would talk. How's your day? Oh, everything fine, baby. I'm all right. You want some more biscuit? Some gravy? Yeah, give me a little bit. I got some fresh water if you want me to get that warm for you. Not right now, baby. I get it. they begin to break his heart. Women today are not taught that. They want to raise hell. Well, you said this and you said that, but I'm just sick of this. Instead of doing like Sherry, I said, my precious husband, bless you. I love you. I leave you be for a while. You find him calling you. Hey, come here, girl. Come talk with me. Men are not the same creatures that your daughters, I'm telling you that. They don't function like you. Just period. You function more emotion. Men reason things. They tend to reason things. They look at things a lot different. And don't try to take his strength. That's what you do when you try to get him to reason like you. He's not going to reason like you. Stop doing that. He's going to reason in the strength and the light of Torah, of discipline. Stop trying to make him do that. Make him less than what he is. Hallelujah. And that doesn't give you no right, brothers, to be fools either. Tells you the Torah teaches you to love your wife, to be faithful. You understand that? Hallelujah. He says here, do you harbor anger against someone? You ask yourself that question that day. He said, does a man harbor anger against another and yet seek for the healing from Yahweh? You got trash in your heart and you seek for the healing of Yahweh? Can't do it, baby. You have anger, hostility. You seek for healing. Does he have no mercy toward a man like himself? Someone that's in the same position you're in. Got the same kind of mindset. Do you have mercy? Does Yahweh have mercy? He's not like that. And yet pray for his own sins. If he himself being flesh maintains wrath, if you act like a fool, if you can act crazy and nutty, who will make expectation for his sin? Who will cry for his sins? Remember the end of your life now. You don't ever think about the end, do you? Remember there's an end to your life. And cease from your enmity, your hatred, your sinful practices, your despising of the Torah. Why? Remember, destruction and death will come to you. Why? Because you must be true to the mitzvah, the Torah of Yahweh. Destruction is death is coming. Because you're not true to it. Because you're not faithful to it. That's why you're full of death. What? They're dead men while they're still living. They have no life of his power. So destruction and death come from those that will not love his Torah. He tells you to remember the mitzvah. And do not be angry with your neighbor. Remember the covenant of the Most High and overlook your ignorance. Your ignorance. That's why you don't be angry with your brother without a cause. That's what Torah teaches. How do you get angry with someone? And you, because someone told you, allow them, you are ignorant as hell. You are the seed of hell. So you don't be angry with your brother and overlook your ignorance. How can you do that? Quiet, good. There's good stuff here today, Yahweh. Cuts down to the bone. Right down to the bone. This is no shallow stuff here. It doesn't miss the one of you. Hallelujah. No, sir, no, ma'am. He said, and overlook ignorance. He tells you this, refrain from strife. Just, can you refrain yourself from doing something? Sure you can. Come on, we had donuts the other day, right? I was greedy. I wanted six of them. Well, I didn't eat six. I gave some to Nate, my friend there, Nady boy. It's coming, Nady. They broke up, but that's all right. They're still good. I think I ate about three of them. But I had the ability to refrain myself. And you can refrain yourself. You can stop. There's an impasse. You don't have to go beyond it. So he said, just stop. Refrain yourself from strife. And you will lessen your sins. You won't sin as much. You won't be so wicked. You rise up at the least of instructions. You get angry at the least of instructions. He said, if you do that, you won't sin so much. For a man given to anger will kindle strife. Those that are easily angered, they will look to kindle strife. They will look to others to create lies and mess. Because they have no discipline of the Torah, it is this power of this aversion that causes one to turn away from their birthright and sell their being for what? Strife and anger and trash. It is the truth. I'm going to close with this. He says this in Sirach. A sinful man will disturb friends and inject enmity among those who are at shalom. See, that's what a wicked man will do, a sinful man. Those that are wicked, they will disturb friends. They will bring dissension between friends. They will disturb friends. You understand that? And not only that, but they will inject enmity, a hatred, between those that are at shalom. That's what one that transgressed the Torah will do. And that's why when you have transgressed the Torah, you will go to inject that same kind of wickedness and wonder. And you will cause dissension between friends. Sure you will. Is that all right, brother? It's all right. Can I stop there? No, I'm going to stop there. May Yahweh bless you. But that is what a sinful man will do. He will disturb friends and eject enmity among those who are at shalom. Who's at shalom? Those that keep the Torah. I will try to finish this. But that was a message that Yahweh spoke to my heart this morning. And I will see. There's some brothers I want them to get up and speak. I really do. But give my voice a little rest. But I will go as Yahweh leads me. Yahweh's will. You all pray that I start back here. All right? Will that be all right? All right, then pray for me. As Sister Megan, Hannah, pray Yahweh. Don't let Pastor Roberts do wicked. Take the wickedness out of him. Give him peace. Help him. He needs help. His mouth, what he say. Don't let him be angry. That's what they pray for me. All the time. Yahweh bless Pastor Roberts. Don't let him do wickedness. Don't let his mouth say wicked stuff. Touch him. Heal him. Bless him. Well, you know what? I watch them at times because this is the way they are. Can I tell you this before I close? As we pray here, when one does something against the other one, I always make them look at each other and grab each other's hands and say good morning and all that. So I have Omega to call Hannah Biggie, and Biggie call Omega Baby. And so when they do something wrong to each other, when they think, they perceive they've done something wrong to each other, this is how Omega will confront Hannah. She will say, good morning, crybaby Biggie. You understand? And then Hannah will respond unto her, good morning, telltale baby. That's how they talk to each other. You understand? I let them... How do you feel, crybaby Biggie? Oh, I am fine, telltale baby. Will you give me a hug, crybaby Biggie? Yes, telltale baby, I give you a hug. Well, give me a kiss. Now, they do that. Well, what happens after that? She wants to pick her up because she can pick her up. And she tells me she's going to be fine so she can pick her up. You understand? And so I say to them, now you pray for Megan and Megan pray for Hannah. So she'll lay hands on her, Yahweh. Now, what of them confront the little issues in them? Do you hear me? That's the way we are. She would say, Yahweh, bless Hannah, help her that she stop being wicked. She stop doing wickedly. Now, she's going to make sure her prayers are more profound against her than hers were against her. Yahweh, help Omega because she tells everything. She going to try to make me get a whipping. She's so tempted to stop being wicked. You understand? That's the way you are. We don't pray, Yahweh, my transgressions are many. Deliver me, for I need it. He's causing the dross to come up because the trash is going to come out. Are you going to be drowned in your own stench, in your own foulness? It's not anyone that's going to take you and separate you away from Yahweh. It is your own sin for your transgressions has separated you from Yahweh. No one else's. Your transgression. Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's all right. I can eat on that. May Yahweh bless you all. You that are listening by the live stream, we do pray that Yahweh bless you. Give you strength today. May the broadcast, we do hope that it is an inspiration to your hearts. Brother Nathan, you there in Houston, Texas, and all those that are listening, we do bless you, Yahweh, for that. We thank all of you all that are listening. We hope that the words will strengthen you.
will cause your heart to rejoice in the Torah and the hope of Yeshua HaMashiach. Because without that we have no life at all. None whatsoever. So we bless you all on this Shabbat. We bless you all here. May Yahweh blesses you today and cause your heart to be filled with a pure desire. I want to see Him. Those are, oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. There to sing forever of His saving love. I want to see that. On the streets of Yahweh, let me lift my voice. My cares are all past, His kingdom at last. Here to rejoice. Oh, I want to see Yahweh. Look upon His face. I never sing anything. I don't know songs. I don't remember them. I sing the way my heart feels. You understand? Can I tell you this before I close? I remember about, since Robin, I've been married about 28 years. We've been married for 28 years, man. All right. That's one day she doesn't want me to forget. Me, 29 years in August. All right. But I remember one day, Sister Roberts, she was at home, and so she called me. I call her. I will call all the time, check on how she's doing. How you doing? Just good. Sometimes the aggravator, just, Pastor Roberts. But I recall this, and I've never remembered the words that I said. She asked me, why do you love me? And it was nothing that was preconceived, nothing that was written down. But I began to speak, it even blessed my heart. You could sense the tears and the weeping, because it was something that was beyond me to express it. It was deeper than that. And I've never been able to remember those words. Should have recorded that one and just play it back every now and then. Is that all right? Yeah? That's all right. That's all right. Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's all right. Never been able to do it again. And that's the power, that the love that we express is beyond that now. That was just, wasn't even a smidgen of. But that's the kind of love that Yahweh has toward His house. Come on, Brother Patrick. There's something that's beautiful too. It is. I pray Yahweh send my precious brother's wife. Come on, let's stand to our feet. You that are listening, come on, stand to your feet. We're going to sing this song, Pastor Brown song. Wherever you are, Pastor Brown, we bless you. Come on.
There be love among us. Be love in our lives. May now your love sweep this house. Cause us, Yahweh, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let
come on, grab your neighbor's hands. You out there, come on, sing with us.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love in our lives. May now your love sweep this house. Cause us, Yahweh, to arise, give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that it is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Come on, look at your neighbors. Come on, husbands and wives.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be His love in our lives. Be now Yah's love sweep my house. Cause me a rain to arise, give me a friend, understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be God's love.
Come on, one more time, every heart.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love in our lives. May not your love sweep the sounds. Calls us Yahweh to arise. Give us a friend, understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be us love.
This blessed Day of Assurance, the Shabbat. We bless you, our Abba, your way. We thank you for the assembly of your people. We may come to the threshold of your way. We bless you this day. Brother Dale, you'll bring the little baby for me today, all right? We thank you as we come before you. As we offer this little child. Brother Dale, where is your child? Bring it. Come on. That we offer this little child unto you for the purpose of your kingdom work. Come on. And for the purpose, come on, wife, of your kingdom expression. That everything this little child does, yes, will be for your honor. How precious the beauty, the charm of this child. We anoint this child for your service. That your name may be exalted and honored in her. Anoint the daddy. Precious man. Anoint the wife. In your name, Yahweh. And as this Avat and this Aim, lay your hands on the sister. Raise this child up unto the Shemayah. We offer unto you for your kingdom honor, that in this little body will express, yes, your covenant love and relationship, that she may grow until the season of time, until all things are fulfilled. For we offer her unto you as this Avat and Ima present this child to you, Yahweh, and you alone. And may the power of HaMashiach fill her from this day until that time of end. In your mighty name. Hallelujah. Way. Hallelujah. Way. Hallelujah. Way. Bless your people your way. Those that have listened today by the live stream, touch them. Bless us all as we prepare for Pesach and Unleavened. As we have watched many things that have transpired here every year. The Judaizing, the betrayals. I pray that the people will govern their hearts and search their minds. Of the leaven. To search out every leaven of their heart. And to cast it before the altar. That they may be clean. Bless all of our brothers and sisters in every part of the world. Thank you for this blessed Kodash. Shabbat. We thank you for all things in Yahshua's mighty name. And all the Kiddushim said, Hallelujah. Way. Hallelujah. Way.